The sixth World Social Forum took place last month in Caracas, Venezuela. Over 80,000 delegates attended the week-long conference. Steve Stewart was among them. He's the international secretary of the IDEA Network, an alliance of education and student organizations. And he joins me by phone this morning to share his impressions of the event. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Now, this was the first year of what the organizers called polycentric social forums. What does that mean?
It meant that there was one, well, at least the concept was that there would be one social forum held in three different locations around the world. So Caracas was one location. Another one was held in Bamako, Mali, at the more or less the same time. And another one was scheduled for Karachi, Pakistan, to be held at the same time. But because of a terrible earthquake that happened there in the fall, it's been postponed until, I believe, late March. But the idea was to have one social forum that in some ways was linked, were linked for me at each of the sites.
And how did that change affect the forum in Caracas?
I don't think it had a huge difference, except that probably the Caracas forum was a little bit more America-centric. It was actually billed as the Sixth World Social Forum and the Second Social Forum of the Americas. And so, in general, when the social forums have been held in the Americas, there has been much more delegates coming from American countries. But I think this time there is even less coming from Europe and Africa and Asia than on previous occasions.
If you had to characterize the atmosphere at the forum in a few words, what would you say about that?
A number of things. On one hand, a little bit chaotic, and at the other hand, probably, you know, there is a lot of exuberance and a lot of hope, particularly for those people in the Americas. It was being held at a time of new kind of hope in the continent and a feeling that that the side they're rooting for is winning.
Originally, these forums were planned as a kind of meeting space where people could go and talk and share ideas. And I understand that conception is now being challenged by some of the delegates. What's the debate there?
I think the debate, and this is to overly simplify it, but it's between those who see the social forum as a space where people working on progressive issues from all over the world come together and meet with each other and share ideas and strategies, and those who would like to see the forum take more of a sort of coordinating role, and so that there be more focus on planning global campaigns, on making declarations or plans of struggle that are then sort of carried out around the world. So on one hand, you have sort of people wanting a more open interchange of views, but not necessarily concrete action plan. And at the other end, you have those that are calling for more of a sort of focus on developing coordinated strategies in a common struggle against neoliberalism.
Given that Evo Morales was quite a central figure in past social forums and is now the president of Bolivia, that must have had a bearing on the debate as well.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't a lot of Bolivian sort of new government people there because the new government of Evo Morales assumed power only, I believe it was the day before the inauguration of the forum. But it definitely created a lot of sort of discussion around what is the role of, originally the social forum was strictly for social movements, and it wasn't even actually, it was to an extent a little bit anti-political party, and definitely not open to government representatives. With the changes that have happened in South America in the last 3 years or so, and especially that of Evo Morales, who was the mainstay of the social forums, it opened the question to what is the role of the social forum vis-a-vis the new progressive governments that are taking power throughout the Americas.
Steve, do you personally think the forum should move more in a direction of political organizing?
Well, I think it would be dangerous to try that too much, in that you have 80,000 participants, of whom only 19,000 or so this year were actual delegates of organizations. And of those 19,000, like, there's no, currently, and I don't see how it would be possible, there's no kind of mechanism to have a deliberative process that would fully involve those 19,000 in decision-making act process. So I think it could be dangerous to focus too much on that, because you would end up alienating a lot of the participants, and you would reduce, I think, the participation a great deal. You also could run into sort of a lot more political struggles within it over, you know, who gets to make the declarations, or who has the key posts in the social forum, which currently key posts only mean that you have to do a lot of organizing work. At the same time, I think there is room to create more space for planning. Currently, there is a sort of series of meetings there that's the Assembly of World Assembly of Social Movements, where interchange and then discussion of coordinating campaigns happens. And I think it might make sense to continue with the sort of general workshops on virtually everything under the sun, and that kind of free-flowing interchange, but also have a sort of thread within it for those that are wanting to plan specific campaigns or issues on a regional or global basis, so that you know if you're going to these activities, they're planning ones rather than simple exchange of information. So there's room for tinkering, but it would be dangerous to sort of try and become a fifth international kind of thing.
Now, you went as a delegate from the IDEA Network, and you went there to discuss education primarily. What was the nature of the discussions that you attended?
There was two parts to that, because just before the World Social Forum, the World Education Forum took place also in Caracas, and so we participated a lot in that. And then within the Social Forum itself, this year there was a lot of seminars and activities around education. Our focus tends to be on resisting the trade agreements and the impact of raising awareness and resisting the impact of trade agreements and neoliberal policies in public education. And in our activities around the continent, generally our focus has been on defense, like trying to stop the sort of bad things that are coming down the tube, the privatizations, decentralization, standardized testing, all the things that sort of lead to a kind of dehumanization and privatization of the education system. What we found in Venezuela with our sort of counterparts, the students and educators there, was their big debate is no longer how do we protect public education, but how do we transform it. And so the arguments were on what was the best strategy, whether Paulo Freire's way, sort of popular education system was the best, or some other way that sort of put education in the hands of the people and of the participants. So in that way, it was very refreshing to see people arguing about how do we best create a liberatory education rather than how do we defend what little we have.
I guess it one does get tired of trying to hold the line all the time, and as you say, it is refreshing to sort of talk about something with a little bit more vision.
Yes, and overall at the Caracas Forum, you had that feeling like that definitely. In South America or Latin America in general, really, that feeling that the tide has changed and the sort of forces of neoliberalism are in, they're still putting up a lot of resistance, but they're in retreat this time. And again, there's a lot of debate within it, like whether the Argentine government is a truly left government or that kind of thing. But the debate is again the depth or you know the extent to which the transformation is taking place rather than whether we can defend what we have.
What was the role at the forum of the man who's been at the center of some of that revolution, Hugo Chavez?
He presented himself as just one more delegate. He was obviously quite aware of the sort of rules of the forum that government leaders don't have a special role within in the forum. But at the same time, taking place in Caracas in the middle of the Bolivarian Revolution, he wasn't in reality, just one more delegate. He was keynote speaker at a number of pretty well all but one of the assemblies that brought together everybody, and very good orator, very powerful orator. Had tens of thousands of people on their feet cheering, and but at the same time, some people questioned his act. He came down very strongly on the side of the social forums becoming more of a coordinating body, and particularly focusing on the anti-imperialist struggle. And some people questioned whether it was appropriate for him to having the limelight to take that position.
Now, I understand that the delegates from the U.S. were also quite prominent there.
Yeah, there was quite a large participation from the U.S. There was also quite a large participation from Canada. The figures I heard were 1,300 delegates came down from Canada. But the U.S. role was quite prominent, and they had their own sort of big circus tent where they held a lot of cultural events and seminars. Among the most popular at those activities were war resistors. There was quite a number of former soldiers who had fought in Iraq and are now speaking against the war, others who had deserted the army in order not to go to Iraq. So a lot of prominence was given to them. Keynote speaker in the opening ceremonies was Cindy Sheehan, the woman who had lost her son in Iraq and has been dogging Bush ever since. So there was a lot of prominence given to sort of the anti-war movement in the United States. But there was also a lot of delegates coming down from real grassroots work in the States, organizers trying to build alliances between the different communities in the larger U.S. cities, between Asians and Blacks and Latinos. So it was quite interesting. It wasn't the sort of usual kind of university intellectuals that we see coming from the left in the States often. This time there seemed to be much more effort to get real sort of grassroots activists down there.
I understand there was even a city councilor from Boston.
Yes, at the opening ceremonies, there was, at least I think she was a city councilor. I'm trying to remember well. But she was representing the city of Boston, and she wanted to send a special thanks to the Venezuelan government, because through their gasoline and oil chain in the U.S., Venezuelan government's been providing poor communities in Boston with heating oil at a 40% discount.
Now you mentioned that there was a large Canadian contingent, about 1,300 participants. What kind of activities were they involved in?
I don't know all the activities they were involved in, actually. Unfortunately, because I work in a sort of multi-or continental network, I wasn't that involved in the Canadian activities. I do know there was a special session organized between Central American activists. And this is a good example of how the forum serves as a meeting ground for all sorts of organizing that is not centrally planned. There was a meeting between Central American activists and Canadian activists around the planned Canada-Central America Free Trade Agreement. And there was a lot of work around Haiti. There was quite a number of delegates from the different Haiti solidarity groups in Canada. And there were two or three workshops that were sponsored specifically by the Canada-Haiti solidarity groups.
Well, it's been really interesting talking with you this morning, Steve.
Thank you. It's been interesting talking about it.
Okay, great. Bye-bye. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Steve Stewart is the International Secretary for the IDEA Network, an alliance of educational and student organizations, and he attended the World Social Forum last month in Caracas. And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.